And he's as big as you or muscled up like you.
He's probably bigger than me. So Joe and Tony, we love you both. Talking about love, Bernie and I both agree our next guest is the best columnist in the country. No disrespect to Michael Goodwin, but she's better. She is from the New York Post, is often on this show, Fox News. We love her, Miranda Devine. Good morning, Miranda.
Hey, Miranda. Good morning, Sid and Bernie. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Now, I played the Beatles there, straight out of Liverpool, England, for a reason. Even though your column today is great, we're going to get to it on Kamala Harris. Last time, Miranda, you were on with me and Bernie, you were on to discuss what you were writing about that day, which was this Meghan Markle, Prince Harry controversy. And I was yelling at you, stop. I don't want to read about this stuff. But here we are again. Prince Philip died on Friday. The funeral, which I'm going to, I'm one of only 30 people, is Saturday. On a serious note, I know that you pay close attention and you do feel these types of things. Are you very upset about his death?
Look, he's 99 years old. No, honestly, I'm not. But I do feel nostalgic for the sort of man he was and the generation he represents, which is, you know, one that put duty and honor in front of everything else and really was selfless. I mean, he was selfless. He had this amazing naval career ahead of him. Everybody said he'd be Lord of the Admiralty. You know, he was first in his class. He was athletic and brave and swashbuckling. And he married the Queen, and then her father got sick and eventually died. So all that was cut short. And he never really complained about it. He never was resentful. I mean, he had many more things to complain about than Meghan Markle, who was there for, you know, less than 2 years and just whinges and moans nonstop about it, and Harry as well. So I just think he's wonderful, and it's sad that people aren't a bit more like him now.
Well, one quick follow. Meghan Markle will not be at the funeral Saturday. Harry will be there, but she won't, correct?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's fantastic that she's not going to be there because, they love him, but I can't imagine that they wouldn't feel incredibly resentful about what she's done to him, you know, filled his head full of ridiculous nonsense about critical race theory and making him think he's got subconscious bias and that his family's racist. It's just appalling. And to go on Oprah when Prince Philip was sick in hospital and had been there a month was beyond callous.
Yeah, and a shout-out, a plug for the Netflix series, The Crown. It turned me around on the royal family. I got to tell you, I love that series. I don't know if you watch it, Miranda, but if you haven't, two thumbs up. What a great, great, well-done show. Miranda, so let's segue to your column. Miranda Devine from the New York Post on the Bernie and Sid show. Look, down at the border, you got kids getting raped, they're drowning, they're stacked on top of each other, in Biden's cages. And we're spending about, I think, $60 million a week on all this nonsense. And plus, of course, they're going to come into the interior and it's going to just drain resources, ruin schools, all that stuff. But cackling Kamala was appointed 3 weeks ago to oversee fixing the problem at the border. And I guess it's solved by now, right?
Huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, not that she would actually do anything because she's a big believer in open borders, but she's just stayed a million miles away. You know, she's been traveling around the country and just studiously ignoring the fact that Joe Biden on March 24 appointed her, that's like 2 weeks ago, appointed her to be point woman for the border to fix the migrant surge. And she's, at the moment, all she has done is make a couple of phone calls to leaders down there. And she actually, a couple of days after Joe Biden announced that that was her new job, her spokeswoman said, the vice president's not doing the border. And she sort of, just around that same time, was asked by reporters if she was going to the border, and she just laughed about it. So she's not taking it seriously, and she's showing great disrespect to the president.
Well, I think she is taking it very seriously, and I think you just nailed it. She would be a hypocrite and a liar if she actually went down there and tried to fix it, because, as you said just moments ago, she's all for open borders. So if you really look at it that way, she's being very consistent, sticking true to what she believes as much as we can stand it. And that's why she's not going, because she's trying not to upset the apple cart that she knows she will reign over one day soon when she becomes president.
But she needs to go down there just to see what's happening to those children. I mean, she's always pretending that she cares about children. She railed about it during the election campaign, you know, Trump's so-called kids in cages. And just like Nancy Pelosi always pretends everything's just for the children, and she's also pretending there's no problem down there. They're just, it's irresponsible, reckless, and cruel to pretend that nothing's happening down there and turn a blind eye and be like an ostrich with your head in the sand, because at some point they're going to have to deal with it. If they deal with it now, or they deal with it in a week's time or a month's time, the numbers coming in, if you look at a graph, it is exponential. It is unprecedented. And they no longer can Joe Biden pretend that it's just, you know, the usual seasonal surge, which was absurd when he said it anyway. But they don't have a plan apart from desperately sending emails to government employees and saying, hey, wants 4 months paid leave to look after children at the border. I mean, I can't imagine anyone really wanting to take that up. The COVID problem down there is horrendous. You know, for this administration and Joe Biden particularly, who's such a COVID neurotic and has made that the centerpiece of his presidency, to allow this super spreader event where, you know, the Republican senators who've gone down there say that it's 25% of people there are infected with COVID. And imagine what they're like after they've been in those overcrowded centers.
Right.
And they're not doing anything about it. They are allowing these people to just spread out through the country and spread the disease far and wide. And that suits them, because they want to keep the lockdowns going and they want everybody to be scared and under their thumb.
It's an utter, utter catastrophe. To remedy it, Miranda Devine on the Bernie and Sigel from the New York Post, they would have to re-implement Donald Trump's policies, which they're loathe to do. But that's what they're going to have to do eventually, in my opinion. But I want to move on, if you don't mind, Miranda, to your other piece in the column today. And you write about Hunter Biden. You in the New York Post, of course, you were censored before the election with this Hunter laptop from hell scandal. And before the election, of course, Hunter Biden was hiding. You couldn't find him anywhere. Now this piece of garbage is all over the place. He's got a book out. And the sycophancy from the fake news, these interviews, is just sickening. These interviews that you see, that the venues that he appears on. But even more than that, there's substance to it. And you write about some of the substance and also about some of the nepotism that went on with Hunter Biden and the Obama administration. Tell us about it, please.
Yes, well, look, he's getting these fawning media interviews, and of course his reputation is being laundered, and he's able to say, oh, you don't need to see the laptop because you've got the book, as if he's told everybody everything that goes on in his life and has gone on, when he's just touched the tip of the iceberg, which is the drug addiction, which is, you know, the least interesting part of his laptop, other than you think to yourself, how can a wastrel like that get paid $83,000 a month by this Ukrainian energy company, Burisma? But the laptop also shows just the life of entitlement and privilege that President Biden's family has enjoyed for a very long time, and particularly Hunter. So there's this email exchange that I picked out, which is between Hunter's cousin, who's the daughter of Joe Biden's sister, Valerie. And she writes to Hunter in an email, and she says, you know, can you get Mum one of those fabulous government appointments? I want to get something for her. And he says, oh, yeah, I'll just go and talk to Joe Biden, who was then vice president, to his chief of staff, and we'll go through all the possibilities and see what might come up. And then he does talk about, you know, not sure if 2016, the election there, and nepotism might you know, be a problem at this point, because they've got to worry about election, you know, the appearances. Anyway, next year, President Obama appoints Auntie Val to a role at the United Nations, which goes for 4 months, pays $26,000. And, you know, there's another memo showing that there are a couple of other $12,500 a month consulting contracts that that Hunter's going to set up for his auntie to take care of her. And, of course, Hunter doesn't have any power. He doesn't get to set anything up. It's all done with Joe Biden and his staff. So, and this is the same with everything. I mean, when Hunter wants his Burisma colleague to meet Joe Biden, he sets it up. The colleague writes him an email saying, thank you so much for letting me meet your father in Washington. It's all quid pro quo. And Joe Biden pretends that he knows nothing about his son's business, and yet he's intimately involved in it and actually helps out Hunter on several occasions.
You know, the media has been so bad for so long, even dating back to the Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, Peter Jennings days. Those guys were as liberal as anybody today, but it didn't feel the same, I guess, is my point. Today it just feels overwhelming, the amount of support the left gets from the media and the lies that are being told to the American public every day. Roger Ailes, God rest his soul, is not going to walk inside this door anytime soon. So the question, Miranda, for me is there ever going to come a day, ever going to come a day when the truth actually is told to the masses? Because right now it's just the very small minority.
Well, look, I don't know, because they're doing their best to silence people like Tucker Carlson. You know, they're trying to get him sacked now. Anyone who challenges the kind of worldview of the left, which is in the ascendancy at the moment, is punished. So I would hope that if a Republican president ever wins again, that they'll be able to do something about big tech, because I think that's, you know, really the main problem, because they disseminate and censor and control the news and what people see. Facebook is now controlling communities that people are involved in, and that's a great way to sort of divide people up and start propagandizing them. So, and I'm writing a book about Hunter Biden's laptop, so hopefully that will get through to a few people as well. Because I think that the laptop's a really important insight into how the sort of corruption at the top, and also just how the rules never apply to certain people who are in that power elite. And that includes especially the Bidens. You know, they get jobs, they get Ivy League university placings, internships, judge clerkships, they get, you know, cut price mansions, they get friendly people wanting to invest millions in their companies. It's everything's a rails run. It's all there for the taking for these people. And anytime they have run-ins with the law, which they do because they're wastrels, a lot of them, they're just treated with kid gloves.
They're wastrels.
You know, nothing ever happens to them. Yeah.
You're right. And you point that out in your article. DWI, credit card fraud, shoplifting, assaulting police, lying on a background check about your drug use when buying a gun, and of course, having sex with his dead brother's widow who stole that gun in the meantime, and nothing happened to any of them on that, and you call it white privilege on the part of the Bidens, and you're absolutely right. Miranda Devine, your column is brilliant in the New York Post today. Check it out on Kamala Harris and the Biden family business, nepotism, all that stuff. We thank you for appearing on the Bernie and Sid. Miranda, you're great. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sid. Thanks, Bernie.
All right, Miranda, take care. Miranda Devine, New York Post, 1-800-8-